2 Corinthians chapter 4. Last week we looked at 2 Corinthians 4 and talked about the pure in earthly vessels. You remember this really cool verse here. This explains so much about what it means to be human, doesn't it? It really does. I mean, there's so many ways that you can take this verse and think about life and apply it. We have this treasure, that gospel treasure, that we can be right with God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, Christ himself. We have this treasure, the message of reconciliation in jars of clay. In jars of clay, and those fragile clay pots. People, we are pretty fragile for the most part. Last week we talked about this verse at camp, and it's why it's difficult for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be an evangelist, because we're fragile. We have our weaknesses, we have our hang-ups, and we have this beautiful treasure in jars of clay. We're easily wounded, easily broken, and it's Paul's personal testimony of a hard life, being built fragile the way that we are. It's why life is hard sometimes. But there is a spiritual element to life as well. We have this treasure in earthly in jars of clay. And the change of attitude means so much. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. And that's a reminder from chapter 3. Because of what God has done, because of the grace of God, because of the freedom that we have in Christ, and because we have hope and God is at work, we do not lose heart. Even though we are fragile, even though our outer man is wasting away, and it's even stronger than saying, well, we're going to die, right? We are just incrementally wasting away. Our life is coming to an end. We can't do what we always did. We play that. It's kind of a universal principle. It's become a universal principle at camp. Someone is going to love disc golf. And I think it's the Lord's way of getting me a lot of exercise, which is fine. I love disc golf too. I like it anyway. And so I get to play with people. And I can hold my own. I'm getting better and I can hold my own with most people. But the reality is, my arm strength, and this will bless you today, my arm speed, are not what the young guys can do. And they don't have to have 10% the technique that I have, and they can throw it just as far. Why? My outer man is wasting away. It's just reality. I'm not like I once was. I'm not as strong as I once was. I'm not going to live forever. My body is wasting away. It's part of being human. Things you wanted to do when you were young, those are gone. You're old. You can't do those same kind of things. It's life. You can work at it. You can work towards it. Many times, total waste of time because it's part of life. But even though all that's happening, my life is so fragile and I have my hang-ups and my weaknesses and all those things, we never lose heart. Because as a Christian, we'll see this again today, we don't view life simply through the lens of I'm getting older and I'm going to die, do we? We never do. Because there's a greater story always going on in the middle of this. God is at work, and there's a wonderful future for us. It's not here, right? Don't put all your eggs in the basket of this life, or you're going to be disappointed. It's not here. There's this wonderful truth of the gospel that we have so much more to look forward to in Christ. So the example we talked about last week, the example of encouragement is to suffer well. Suffer well here. Don't just be in despair like everyone else in the world is who has no hope. Of course they don't suffer well. Of course they're angry and they're looking to this life to give them satisfaction. They have nothing else. We have a different story. This light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things, this is an as, right? As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Since I don't see myself as well as I see literally everyone else in my life, I'm sure it's more active in myself than I recognize, but I'm really almost stunned the degree that I see people in this world living for this world, as if somehow this world is going to make it all great in the end. And it's just going to be wonderful in your experience here, and then it's just going to be awesome. And then, you know, cherry on top, you get heaven, right? How hard it is for people to live by faith, to see, look at the things that are not seen. And isn't Paul being sort of like purposefully funny there? Look at the things that are not seen. Set your eyes on the things that you can't look at. And he called his sufferings light and momentary. Man, wow. Amen? Just wow. Light, momentary affliction. And then he compared that to this eternal weight of glory. So suffer well. Suffer well. There's more to the story. And always, always, always praise God in the middle of wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, whatever's going on in your life. Praise God always. Always pray God and remember what he has done and remember the promises that he has made to you. So today then, what I have called unstoppable in Christ. Very interesting. I think that's kind of the point that Paul's making here. So I invite you to read it with me. Unstoppable in Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. That's a good word for us today. Verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us up with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So, we do not lose heart. Nor our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look to the things that are as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Eternal lasts forever. Pray with me. God, thank you so much for an opportunity to open your word together again. I pray that it be a fruitful time. It is a glorious chapter. It is a glorious book, a letter. Originally a letter that we have before us was such rich and encouraging and wonderfully written truths. I pray that these things would challenge, encourage, and transform us today by the use of your word through your spirit. We want to glorify you better here. We want to think differently about life. We want to be different than the world around us. And we want to represent you well. And so we pray to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. Unstoppable in Christ. Unstoppable. This is a gospel victory chapter, isn't it? It's a chapter of gospel victory. We do not lose heart. And notice how personal it is, right? He says this all over and over again. We do not lose heart. We have renounced our gospel. We proclaim. We have this treasure. And that's how personal it is throughout the chapter and really through the whole book. These are not disconnected truths thrown out there to the aether and then you can just sort of pin them wherever you want to. This is about life. This is personal. This is real life. We do these things. We have these things. This is our gospel. It's a personal testimony of gospel victory. And so he says, we are not crushed. I'm not crushed. You see, there's a gospel victory, not driven to despair. In contrast to the way that life is coming at them, this is Paul's testimony then. We're not crushed. We're not driven to despair. Not forsaken. Not destroyed. God will raise us up, right? Being renewed. Don't you love that? Being renewed day by day. And of course, don't ever miss that, right? An eternal weight of glory. These light momentary afflictions. No, it's an eternal weight of glory we're being prepared for. And I think there's just some great insight into that, where Paul is saying, this is going to be my mindset. Here's what it feels like. Here's the reality. Here's what it looks like. Here's what's actually going on. Here's what I want to focus on. It's not true. Here's what's really going on. I'm not crushed. I have gospel victory. I'm not driven to despair. I know what's ahead. I'm not forsaken. Christ has said he will never leave or forsake me. I feel alone at times. Not true. I'm not forsaken. I am not destroyed, right? You ever met anybody that's destroyed? Oh, it can't get any better. It'll never end. It's just over. I might as well just forget it. You're sitting here right now, right? You're not destroyed. God will raise us up. If you are, if when you finally ultimately met your end, right? Well, this is good. I'm going to die. They told me I'm going to die. Okay? God will raise you up if you're in Christ. Our outer man is wasting away. But we are being renewed day by day in a place where it's important, in the inner man. And of course, Paul says he's building for us an eternal weight of glory. Gospel victory. God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There is nothing more precious to any human being, and honestly, there's nothing more that we need. We have been given the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You today can, many of you do, know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know God through Christ. Awesome. It's gospel victory. What more do we need than what we have? The world can't give you that. Nothing else in this world, no fame can give you that, no money, no possessions, no experiences can give you what we have in Christ. And again, I think this is just part of our human weakness. We're clamoring after all these little trinkets and junk and experiences and things and whatever, and we already have the greatest treasure in the entire universe. We already have what no one else can deliver. It's almost silly to think about. It's just part of being in a physical world and living by faith. And our attention, our affections are drawn off so quickly. Gospel victory, but the victory, notice, is real. Amen. It's real. It's current, isn't it? Some of it's future, but it's actually current, isn't it? We don't lose heart. We're not crushed. We're not driven to despair. We're not forsaken. We're not destroyed. Those are all current things, right? I'm currently not destroyed. Gospel victory and life in a broken world. Do you feel unstoppable most days? Do you? You get up and just like, you know what? I am totally unstoppable in Christ. I have everything I need. Everything is going just the way that God has designed it to go. Praise the Lord. Let's get this thing done. Not most days, right? Not most days. We live in a broken world of defeat. A broken world of defeat. Life can be amazingly hard. We're afflicted in every way. Things are coming at us that hurt in every way. That's pretty pervasive, isn't it? We are afflicted in every way. Not most ways or some ways, but every way. He mentions affliction again in verse 17. We're perplexed. I have no idea what's going on some days. You ever feel like that? Yeah, every day, right? No, not every day. But it does seem like that some days, doesn't it? I have no idea what's going on. I don't know what God is doing. Praise the Lord for not watching TV, right? I'm not trying to be too arrogant about it, but I want to encourage you that way. The conversations that I have with people around, a lot of times I'm thinking, wow, you know, do you know about them? No, I have no idea what you're talking about, right? And there are other things that I need to continually disconnect myself from, so I'm not saying this is just all how great it is. But if you're sitting there tuned into TV, and especially if you like to watch news and stuff like that, you will be perplexed, alright? You just will be. What in the world is going on? Right? What in the world is going on? It's crazy. Persecuted. People will hate you. I love Ray Comfort. He's different, and that's okay. But man, the dude is doing a good work. And some atheist just yesterday got all up in his face, angry with him. Just all angry up in his face for sharing the truth with him. You're going to be persecuted. Your message, the message of the gospel, is not a good, fluffy, acceptable message in this culture. It's just not. You're going to lose friends. You're going to get people mad at you just for trying to love on them. People are just going to be evil, and they're going to be tools of Satan and try to hurt Christians sometimes. It's going to happen. Paul, wow, he was persecuted like crazy, wasn't he? Because he was serving Christ. He was a zealous servant of Christ. Struck down. Knocked down. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Remember Christ as he suffered, as we even remember today, his body broken, his blood shed. We have that. We carry around the body of the death of Christ. Man, this is just a really heavy sounding stuff. Always being given over to death. Death is at work in us. Our outer self is wasting away. And don't miss this point in the way that Paul wrote what he wrote. We are afflicted in every way. We are always carrying about in the body the death of Christ. Always being given over to death. I would never let a counselee get away with using that kind of language. It's right there in the Bible. Right? Really always, all the time. So Paul says, right? This is life in a broken world of defeat. There's real opposition. We are fragile. We're finite. We're sinful. We are broken. We're easily wounded. We're prone to flaws and errors. Then we are, as he says, we're fragile jars of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay. That's a great example. I mean, you know, you go in, you knock it off. You broke it. You bought it. So easy to break. Now, we feel this human element, but the reality is that the chapter says that we're unstoppable in Christ. How in the world do you put that together? Life in a broken world of defeat in a chapter of gospel victory. We as people are completely stoppable, right? I mean, there is everything about me is stoppable. But we're unstoppable in Christ. How do you fit that together? Or how do you contrast this to the gospel victory? My weakness and God's strength. I put twin realities because my wife will not let me use the word dichotomy anymore. I think that's good. Twin realities. I found a way to say it. Twin realities. The hard circumstances of life and then the reality of life in Christ. Life is difficult, a broken world of defeat, the gospel victory. They're both going on at the same time in your life every single day, aren't they? Every single day, both of those realities are active in your life. All the hope of heaven, you are totally forgiven in Christ, you have eternal life, and you have God's present work in your life right in the middle of a broken world of defeat. Every day, all the time, both at the same time. We're crushed, yet we're overcoming. Amen? We're defeated victors. Right? Isn't that crazy? We're defeated victors. We're killed, yet we have eternal life. We live forever. We're nobodies. We're somebodies. We're nobody somebodies. We're nobody. You will never amount to anything in this world. I can say that with confidence. But you are a child of a living God. You are a child of the Creator of the universe. He called you by name. Wow! You're going to be somebody in this world, really? Who cares? Right? Who cares? You're a child of the living God. The only one whose opinion ever matters calls you by name and calls you child. Wow! Nobody's somebody's. Unstoppable dust. What a chapter. Unstoppable dust. Dust can't do anything, right? You can't do anything with dust. Sweep it up and throw it away. We're unstoppable dust. It's our experience. Logically impossible, but there's more going on here. Are we actually unstoppable, and how so? And if so, why don't I feel unstoppable on most days or some days? Because our experience is that we are very stoppable, and there's no bucking that experience. All of us will die, right? Our time will come to an end. Our life will come to an end. Our ministry will come to an end. Anything that you say, it'll come to an end. But the truth is, God is unstoppable. We're the vessels. We're just the vessels. It's God who is unstoppable. And so we are His vessels, or His servants, doing His work here. We're the jars of clay, and we have the treasure of God in these jars of clay. And that's the point. There are these twin realities going on, because it is God who is God. God is the one who is active, and in Christ we are unstoppable. Because of what God is doing, we're unstoppable. And remember the previous verse. The truth is, we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. And so we're going through this life, and we have all of these hardships and circumstances and things keeping us down, and we're beaten, we're knocked down, we're killed, he says, right? And we make, and if as a human being, if I make all of my focus my problems, and I just look at that, oh, look at how bad it is, and look what's going on, how in the world could God say He's faithful? He hasn't given me everything I want. That's really what we're saying. Ooh, ouch. We say, oh, but I can't, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that, and even I'm trying to do God's will, I keep getting knocked down. We're just focusing on that. Look at how bad it is. Look at how terrible it is. That's only one reality, and it's the wrong one to focus on. And over here, the Creator is saying, I got this. What are you worried about? My plan is going forward. My plan hasn't slowed down a drop. I'm not asleep. It's working fine. It's going just like I said it would. You're not forsaken. Why do you feel forsaken? I told you you weren't forsaken. Why do you feel forsaken? You're looking at the wrong thing. Look over here. Here I am. I'm with you. Yeah, you're knocked down. You're not defeated. You're with me. Come on. Let's go. We got stuff to do. We focus over here on the truth that I am unstoppable in Christ, that I'm following God and He's victorious, that God is at work and He's never sleeping. He keeps on going. He keeps on doing His will. Your day gets quite a bit better. You start to live in the truth that there are twin realities. Yeah, it hurts sometimes. God knows what He's doing. He is going to take me through this thing. I am a nobody, that's fine, because I'm somebody, the only one that matters. Everybody in this world can call me the scum of the earth. Paul said that of himself. It makes no difference, because the Creator calls me His. Can't be stopped. God will never be stopped. The power belongs to God. And so the victory belongs to God. Thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, right in this book. And through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. God is at the head of the column. He is leading us in triumphal procession. Okay? How are we unstoppable? We're following God. He's doing His will. He is winning. He has already won. God's unstoppable. His victory is won. Jesus said, when He received the sour wine, He said, it is finished. He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. Boy, talk about twin realities, right? He just died. How in the world could He say He's finished? Right? Okay, He just won. He's dead. What? right? Because the resurrection was coming, right? And he died for our sins. The payment for sin was finished there. The victory for us, God's victory, is finished. He did it. The power is God's power. The victory is God's victory. Jesus has already won his victory. The glory and the recognition belong to God. It is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. That's an evangelistic verse. This is a very evangelistic chapter. I talked about this at camp. But as you go out and you share the treasure that you have, right? You have this treasure in charge of place. You go out and you share, as you spread around the message of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, it extends to more people, right? More people receive it. And then what happens is that thanksgiving increases through the more, and where to? To the glory of God. The power is of God. The victory is from God. The glory goes to God. God is unstoppable. We're not. We were never supposed to be unstoppable. Can you imagine if in this life you were sufficient for yourself? You could get it done. You knew what to do. You could go through this life with absolutely no thoughts of God. That's what the world, many in the world, think is going on. I meet them, they don't believe it. What would your life be like? Man, you would be an arrogant fool, wouldn't you? You wouldn't have any need for God whatsoever. See, God has made it so that we have to depend on Him. We have to. We're so broken. Life is so upside down. We're so fragile that we have to depend on the only one that is actually unstoppable in this whole thing. It's God Himself. And then, of course, He gets the glory. It's His power. It's His victory. It's His glory. God is unstoppable. So, since God is unstoppable, as Christians, if you are in Christ, you are following God in this awesome, unstoppable parade of redemptive history. Man, isn't that awesome news? In the middle of your brokenness, and no matter how you think about yourself or what you think about your life, what a failure you are, or how nothing is going your way, if you are in Christ, you are following Him in a glorious victory parade throughout redemptive history as God continues to unfold His plan of redemption for mankind, one day culminating in God finishing it finally. When He brings a new heaven and earth down, He sets up His throne in a real place on the new heavens and earth, and we're with Him forever in total perfection. Wow. That's called being unstoppable. You can be assured if you are in Christ that one day, no matter what happens, no matter what it feels like, you will be with Him. You will walk that place. You will live there. You will be there. No tears, no problems, no crying. No pain, no sickness, no death ever again. No sin, no devil, no demons. Wonderful. We are following God in an awesome, unstoppable parade of redemptive history. That's the point Paul wants us to grab onto today. No matter where you're at, no matter what you feel like, no matter what life is throwing at you, you, if you're a Christian, are following God in an awesome, unstoppable parade of redemptive history. So we have this call then, that what do you do about it? Sit around with a smile on your face all day would be pretty good, right? But what He's calling us to do is live a victorious life. Live like it. Live like you believe it. Live like it. You know, Paul had a rough life, and he tells his testimony office, I don't get the idea that he was just running around moping all the time, right? Oh, man. It's C3 days again, really? Right? You know? The dude was living in light of his gospel victory. He lived a victorious life because he saw God at work. So a few things in closing. Persevere in Christ. God has not called you to heaven yet. You're not there yet. This is not heaven. It was never meant to be heaven. This created world was never meant to satisfy the desires of your heart and your soul. You're never meant to find fulfillment here. You're meant to long for something better. And you can say you're meant to long for heaven, but that is weak. You were meant to long for Christ. You were meant to long for Him. And the only reason heaven is good is because you're with Him. God has not called us to heaven yet. Heaven is your reality. Heaven is your future, but it's not today. So persevere. Persevere with faith. It's a call to change your mind and your perception. You know, you can make yourself miserable. You can. I can do it. I'm great at it. I've practiced a lot of you. Huh? You can make yourself miserable. Change your mind. You can act defeated before it's even started. And guess what? Then you are. Aren't you? You can knock yourself down and you're already defeated. Remember the truth. A firm confidence of the truth. God wins, you win. God wins. It's written down. God can't lie. It's going to happen. Life is more than this life. God wins, you win. It's a firm confidence in that truth. Set your mind and your hope on those gospel truths. Not just saying, okay, it's going to be okay, don't worry about it. But say, you know what? God has won the victory. God knows what He's doing. God said He will never leave me. You're not forsaken. God said He's going to walk through these things with me. He said that I have all the power of the resurrected Christ at work in me. I'm going to believe that today. And don't act defeated before you even begin. Persevere in Christ. Change your mind. Change your perception. We are weak today because God gets the glory. And that's an important point. God uses the weak and He uses our weaknesses. And so He gets the glory for what we do, if we do anything at all. Nothing can keep us down and nothing can stop us if we're in Christ. Nothing can. But God is turning the glory to Himself through these weak vessels. You know, I used to think an awful lot of myself. I suppose I still do. I try not to. But I've grown in Christ to think less and less of myself because it's reality. But one of the things that's helped me an awful lot is that I am glad that I am nothing. Because the ones that are nothing are the only ones that God uses. That's it. He chooses to use the weak of this world to shame those that are something. Wow. Those are the people that God's work is on display in. Paul, God didn't take Paul and use all of his strengths, did He? He humbled him. He knocked him down, and Paul had to restart. And he said, when I am weak, I am glad. Why? That's when God is finally strong. Right? And I think, you know, we're going through, I got to figure it out. I can do this. This one, I've got it. I'm going to take care of it. And then God has to take us down a peg because we're not weak enough yet to be able to be used by Him. We're weak because that's when God gets the glory. When we're strong, you get the glory. When we're weak, God gets the glory. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Wow. Nothing to compare it with. What we should do, as we look not to the things that are seen, not to the stuff that's keeping me down or the things that are going on around me, but to the things that are unseen, where God sees, right? The things where God sees. For the things that are seen are transient. They're going away. There are nowhere to put your hope. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Those are forever. Let's pray. God, thank You for the hope that we have in Christ. I know, I imagine it's for all of us, probably universal. I know for me it is so incredibly easy to set my eyes on the things that are seen, to set my hope on my own strength, and to hook my joy to my circumstances. God, forgive us for that. And I pray that all of us together, all of Your people together, we would regularly remind ourselves that we are victors in Christ, that You are totally unstoppable, and that as I trail along behind You, since You will never be stopped and You're plowing the way, there's no way for me to ever be stopped. Thank You for this wonderful reminder today, God. And I pray that I know for myself, I pray that I would live in light of that today, realizing that You're at work and that Your power is at work and that You've called me to certain things and to talk to people about Christ and to counsel people and all these different things, that you're right there and you are working regardless of what I see or what I think I believe, that you are working and your plan is going to be fulfilled. And I just pray that that would be something by faith that I would grab to this week. And God, glorify yourself in us. Thank you for this encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen.